Chapter 16. The UDM students, Nori and Elliot among them, did math and geography and expressed their feelings through interpretive dance. They did headstands. Bax went to the nurse. "My eyes! My eyes!" Sebastian cried during music class. He shielded them with his hands. "If you have to sing, can't you at least sing on key?
If you have to complain, can't you at least do it in your head?" Andres called from the ceiling.
Sebastian looked up and stuck out his tongue. Andres grinned. Nori suppressed a smile. There might be some things she'd miss once she got transferred out of the UDM class. Later in the morning, Ms. Starr guided them through a centering activity. The students were supposed to balance on their right legs and lean forward, their arms outstretched like wings.
"Yes, Willa," she said. "Now straighten your left leg and stretch your left foot behind you. Oh dear, Elliot, are you all right?"
Elliot was not very centered. He toppled over time after time. At first he laughed, but as the rest of the class got better and he didn't, Nori could see that it bothered him.
"Don't worry about it," she told him, hopping over on her right leg.
She was about to say, "We won't have to do centering exercises when we get to the regular class." But Bax spoke over her.
"Dude, pinch your earlobe."
"Huh?" Elliot said.
"When you wobble, pinch your right earlobe."
Elliot planted his right leg. He stretched out his arms and leaned forward. He extended his left leg behind him and wobbled like crazy.
"Whoa," he said, pinwheeling his arms. "Grab your earlobe. Pinch it,"
Bax said. Elliot did, and he found his balance. Then he stretched his arm out again. He was a perfect airplane. He beamed.
"How did you know the earlobe thing?" he asked Bax. "I'm a rock half the time. Rocks don't wobble."
"Rocks don't have earlobes either," Elliot said. He frowned.
"Fine," Bax said. "My mom makes me go to yoga class with her."
"Well, thanks," Elliot said. He came out of his airplane and bumped knuckles with Bax again. They did that almost every day now. Nori wondered if there were things Elliot might miss about UDM, too. She decided not to ask. After lunch, Ms. Starr's class joined the other kids for recess in the yard. As usual, the UDM kids hung out by the swing set. Today, Elliot brought up the rear, holding Andres on his leash. He barely stopped at the swings, however, and handed the leash to Nori.
"Gotta go," he said. "The Sparkies will want to hear the good news."
"Elliot, wait," Nori said.
She stepped apart from the others and lowered her voice. Andres was floating a safe distance away.
"Principal Gonzalez hasn't told us officially yet."
"Yeah, but come on, we aced it."
Nori bit her finger. "Still, why do you want to tell the Sparkies?"
"They'll be excited for me," Elliot said. "You'll see. We've been friends forever, and they're awesome. They just weren't comfortable with the freezing, which is really understandable."
He dashed down the hill toward Zinnia, Lacey, and Rune, who were clustered by the woody area near the yard boundary.
"What does he see in those guys?" Nori asked, back at the swing set.
Marigold wrinkled her nose.
"I think they're mean."
Something twitched against Nori's wrist. It was Andres's leash pulling roughly against her skin.
"Something's going wrong with Elliot and the Sparkies," he called down. "We should go over there."
"What's happening?" Nori asked.
She couldn't see the woodsy area, but Andres was up high enough to see it. He frog-kicked his legs, making Nori stumble.
"Nori, let's go. Those guys are being jerks."
Nori and the other UDM kids took off at a sprint. Nori pulled Andres along. They found Elliot just past the tree line, where it was hard for the lunch ladies to see. He was with the Sparkies in a shadowy spot between two oaks. They had him backed up against a tree. Lacey held a stick that was on fire.
"Come on, just one for each of us," Zinnia was saying.
"You don't understand," Elliot said. "I'm normal now."
"But we really want popsicles," Lacey said in a baby voice. "If you were really our friend, you'd make us some."
She waved the flaming stick at Elliot's head.
"He can make popsicles out of thin air," Andres called from up high. Leave him alone.
The Sparkies swiveled their heads and peered at the sky.
Or what? Lacey challenged. You'll spit on me?
Zinnia laughed.
Seriously, said Bax. Elliot, come over here with us.
Elliot hesitated for a second, but then came to stand with the UDM kids.
Don't mess with him again,
Bax said to the Sparkies.
Ooh, I'm scared, said Lacey. Big bad Bax might turn into a rock.
Bax snarled.
If I do, I hope I land on your foot.
Now, Lacey, don't be mean, Zinnia said. Bax can't help it that he's always turning into a rock. He's just wonky.
She swept her hand in an arc.
They all are.
We are not wonky, said Willa. We're different.
No one says wonky anymore, added Marigold. It's so old-fashioned. You sound like my grandmother.
Changing the label doesn't change the facts, said Lacey. Ask anyone. You guys are as wonky as,
as wonky as a skunk with an elephant trunk.
Ooh, that rhymes, she laughed. Wonky as a skunk with an elephant trunk.
Don't, Nori snapped.
Lacey smirked.
Wow, great comeback.
Stop it. That's all you've got to say? Lacey retorted. She walked toward Nori.
It blows my mind that your father is headmaster of Sage Academy, while you're just... you. Wonky, weird, and, so smelly.
Andres muttered under his breath. Then he hawked up a huge loogie and... a mouthful landed smack on Lacey's head. It snaked down her forehead and oozed behind her glasses.
Ew, said Zinnia. Lacey, that is super gross.
Rune laughed. Lacey screwed her mouth into an ugly shape and flung her hand in Andres's direction. There was a spark, and Andres's leash started to smolder. Tiny tongues of flame shot out. Nori screamed.
Andres's leash is on fire, she cried. You guys, help!
Andres yelled in fright. The flames reached higher. Willa frowned and pressed her fingers to her temples. Nothing happened.
I don't rain outdoors yet, she wailed.
Sebastian stood helpless. Marigold, too.
I'd shrink his leash, she said, worrying her hands. But what if that makes his clothes catch fire?
The leash was burning away. Now only threads kept Andres from ballooning into space. The heat reached Nori's hand, but she held tight.
Help! Andres cried. If the leash breaks, I'll keep going up forever.
I'll get a flyer from up in the yard, Marigold said.
Sebastian grabbed her arm.
Won't help. The only kids out here are fifth graders.
And they can only fly 2 feet up, Marigold finished. And the lunch ladies, they're all fuzzies.
Nori's breaths came fast. She shot Elliot a desperate look because she knew what needed to be done. And so did he.
You have to help, she told him. Come on, you can do it.
He hesitated.
You have to. Forget the stupid box of normal. Andres needs help.
Elliot pressed his lips together. He flung his fingers out with intense determination. The leash froze from top to bottom. With a hiss, the fire was gone.
Elliot!
Nori cried triumphantly.
Yes!
Andres's body sagged with relief.
You're okay. We'll get you down, Nori called.
Hand over hand, she started pulling the frozen leash toward her.
You saved him,
Marigold said to Elliot.
I did, Elliot said.
But he hadn't. With a terrifying sound, the frozen leash creaked. Splinters of ice rained down.
Crack!
It snapped in two.
No!
Nori cried. Andres went up, his arms and legs flailing. Super fast, super high. Lacey laughed. Everyone else jabbered, throwing out panicked suggestions.
Knock him down with pine cones.
Throw a net over him. Get an advanced flyer. Quick!
Sebastian sprinted back to the school to get a teacher, but Andres was already high above the treetops. By the time a flyer arrived on the scene, Andres would be gone. Nori dug her fingernails into her palms. Andres was going up and up and up. Before long, no one would be able to save him. Unless... Nori sucked in breath.
First, she imagined her box of normal. Next, she imagined the walls of the box exploding outward in all directions. No more box. No more normal. Then she pictured a bird, big and fast and strong. She had never done bird. Never, not ever. And so many things could go wrong. But she concentrated with all her might, imagining wings and talons and eyes with perfect vision. "Nori, yes," Elliot said. Bird Nori looked down to see Elliot jumping and clapping.
"Go, Nori," Marigold urged. "Hurry."
Bird Nori swooped through the sky.
"Maybe I should go build a nest."
"No nest," Girl Nori commanded.
"Andres, only Andres."
Bird Nori spotted him, a lumpish thing in a stripy shirt, flying into the sky without any feathers.
"Nah," thought Bird Nori, swerving away. "I'd rather search for worms."
"He doesn't have feathers, but he's still your friend," Girl Nori told her bird self, and Bird Nori heard and listened. Bird Nori flew to the lumpish thing. She looked him straight in the eye.
Wow, he was huge.
She must be small. Bird Nori craned her neck to catch a glimpse of herself.
Oh, drat,
Girl Nori thought. A bluebird? Seriously? She had to grow. That was all there was to it.
Grow,
Girl Nori told herself. Go on now, grow. She quivered. She strained. Nothing. She was still a tiny bluebird with big Andres floating higher and higher beside her. But why wouldn't she grow? Was Nori's stupid wonky magic so wonky that she couldn't even wonk it when she wanted to? Ms. Starr's words came into Nori's head.
We should nurture what's inside us.
Well, there was a lot of different magic inside Nori. That was for sure. When she drew her box of normal, it was teeny tiny compared to the part of herself she had to leave out. And in the part of her she had to leave out, there was definitely magic that could make her grow. She knew it because of the skunkophant.
I'm nurturing you, inner skunkophant, she thought.
She nurtured it as hard as she could.
Come on already!
No luck. In her mind, she heard Ms. Starr's voice again.
UDM isn't about controlling your feelings. It's about understanding them.
Okay, she'd try that. What was she feeling?
Worry for Andres.
Disgust at Lacey. Annoyance at Elliot for trying to be friends with Lacey. Sympathy with him for wanting friends. Hope that she and Pepper could one day be friends. Anger at Father. Frustration with Dahlia and Hawthorne. Missing them, too. Pride at doing a good bluebird, but fear of what people might say if she turned her bluebird into something else. Those were her feelings. The feelings of Nori Boxwood Horace, right then, as she fluttered in front of Andres in the sky. And that did it. Nori grew and grew and grew and grew. She was enormous bluebird Nori.
Ah!
Andres screamed. He kicked, trying to get away. Enormous bluebird Nori changed again. Her bird face shifted. She recognized the stretchiness of her skin and the flutter of her eyelashes. Now she had her girl face.
Whoa.
Nori had never heard of a fluxer who could do part animal and part human.
Andres, it's me, Nori, said enormous bluebird Nori with Nori's actual face.
Andres's eyes bugged.
It is, really, I'm going to save you now, okay?
Enormous bluebird Nori with Nori's actual face grabbed hold of Andres with her claw feet. He was heavy, and the pull of his upside-down magic was strong, but she flapped her powerful wings and delivered him safely to the ground. Everyone from UDM cheered. Nori, relieved and exhausted, turned back into herself. And Andres, no longer in the clutches of a giant bird, started floating back up again.
No!
Nori grabbed his ankle. But the more anxious Andres was, the stronger his magic became. He kept going up. Elliot grabbed Nori's leg, and that helped, but Andres's floating magic was strong, and soon Elliot was lifted off the ground as well. Willa grabbed Elliot. We need a rope. Somebody find a rope. Zinnia and Rune took off toward the school, but before they were halfway there, Marigold gasped and pointed. There, she said. It was Bax. He was a rope. Marigold passed rope Bax to Elliot, who passed him to Nori, who tied him to Andres's belt. She gave a yank to make sure the knot would hold. Rope Bax held on to Andres. Nori gave rope Bax to Willa, who wrapped the loose end around her wrist for added security. Clumsily, everyone, except for Andres, climbed down to the ground. They were safe. Andres was safe. It took a minute for it to sink in. Thanks, Bax, Andres said to the rope. Rope Bax didn't answer. Who's Sebastian talking to? Elliot wondered. They turned to look. Sebastian was running over, speaking to the air. Sebastian, yelled Nori. Who are you talking to? Something next to Sebastian shimmered. A shoe appeared, then a jacket. Then the rest of Principal Gonzalez's body appeared, with his mustache coming in last. With a wiggle of his lips, as if to make sure every hair was in place, he said, He was talking to me.